Welcome to another episode of Recipe Club, the podcast where we debate the best way to cook the things you want to eat. My name is Chris Yang. I'm the host today, along with playing the role of Dave Chang in studio with me, Wedgie extraordinaire, literary doyen, almost killed coming into the Spotify offices when she was clipped by the security gate, Rachel Kong.
It's me. I'm Dave again.
How are you feeling? Did your life flash before your eyes as you
it
were?
It really did, yeah. My groin is smarting.
Oh, that's why you're okay.
That is why my groin hurts.
Okay, so
I have a smarting groin.
So let me introduce. Jesus Lord, Priya Krishna is our featured guest Wedgie today. Priya, you're familiar with this. When you come into the Spotify studios here in downtown Los Angeles, there are the sort of swinging glass gates.
Yeah.
You know? It's like you're going through like a European passport control or something. Where they just like, you don't know if it's going to work or not. Our dear sweet Rachel was caught in the jaws of the two swinging glass doors.
Yeah, it's just like, it was like, do you ever play Prince of Persia?
I don't play that game. It's culturally insensitive.
I know, it's actually,
You played Prince of Persia?
I did, yeah, on the computer.
And what happens?
I'm shocked.
There's some jaws that can slice you in half.
If anybody had on their bingo card, their Recipe Club bingo card, Rachel Kong makes 90s video game reference, like that was going to be a rare hit. So yes, so when Rachel immediately before we started recording said to me and Priya, my groin hurts, I think Priya and I both assumed it was unrelated to anything we were talking about, but no, it's because she was trapped in a glass door. How are you doing, Priya? How's your you have any injuries you want to share with us? Anything hurting? Any aches and pains?
You know, just my mind blown from having just finished Real Americans by Rachel Kahn.
Wow.
What a transition. I haven't seen transitions that clean since Real Americans by Rachel Kahn. I haven't, because my copy has not yet arrived, Priya. So as we...
Wow.
Priya and I often debate where we are in the pecking order of Rachel's friendship. And evidently you've just handed her the victory here. What did you think, Priya? I think without giving you spoilers, the book isn't out for when?
It's out in April, end of April. Yeah, it's a long time.
So you got a super early look, but this is what? These are galleys, like real?
They're advanced galleys? Reader copies. Okay. They're for the media and for beloved friends. Whoa. More beloved, less beloved, but the beloved friends.
Right. The stunning sequel to Toni Morrison's Beloved, Less Beloved. The Chris Yang story. Let's do a live, honest reaction here, Priya. You gave a nice little transition, but how'd you feel?
I told Rachel this, I texted her this, and I was just like, if I have a close friend who comes out with a book, I will always read it and I will always support them. But it is so amazing to have a friend who not only is like a good friend of mine, but who I legitimately think is like one of the greatest novelists alive right now. Rachel, I texted you this, but I just think the book is remarkable. It's a remarkable book. Like, you know, I feel like the hallmark of a Kong book is like these little beautiful descriptions of everyday life and these mundane moments that feel that like come alive with Rachel's writing. But just like the book is so engaging and so absorbing and really like answers big questions in thoughtful ways while like leaving you with a lot of questions. I sort of sat on the couch after I finished it and just like talked about it with Seth for an hour. Seth has not read the book, but I made him read the like the editor's note from the like editor of Knopf who'd written it. And I'm like, okay, so read this. And then so we can have a discussion, because there's like no one I can talk about it with.
I mean,
and I've already made a list of questions in the back for Rachel, because I just like have a lot of questions, because it's such an interesting book. And I just like want to know about choices that were made. It's so good. It's so good. I mean, like, I know like it's so different from Goodbye Vitamin, but I think it's even better. Like, I think it is my favorite Kong so far.
Oh my God. Thank you, Priya.
I'm sure when I read it, the book will be wonderful, but I cannot think of a fate worse than having somebody talk to me for an hour about a book I've not read seems like a fate worse than death. Oh my God.
That's what you have to do in marriage, Chris. If Jamie sits you down.
Listen, I've been married for a while now. Oh my God, almost 10 years?
Almost 10 years. 10 years next year.
And I think I'm often asked the secret to a long marriage. And I will say it is simply this.
You're right.
Never.
Often asked.
Whenever I'm asked. Let me rephrase. Whenever I'm asked about the secrets to
the
marital.
The one time I've been asked.
That one time somebody asked
right
me about
now.
The secret to. Whenever I write in my diary about the secrets to marital longevity, I say there are two things. One, never talk to your partner for an hour about a book they haven't read. And two, don't ever describe your dreams to that person either, because nobody wants to hear about either one of those things. I'm looking forward to the book.
Thank you.
I'm sure when I read it, I will declare Rachel Kong one of the great novelists, not just alive, but alive or dead. Unlike Priya, who said only, who qualified it as only living novelists. Are you at the top of the heap?
Wow. Chris is really trying to move up in the
I know.
Right now.
We'll see.
Well, being in the last place in Recipe Club has really affected my self-esteem. speaking of Recipe Club, that's the podcast you all tuned into. Not book club, not pop culture happy hour or whatever. We are here on Recipe Club where we, I can't think of another way. What? How do we describe us three as a trio?
The Okra Pod.
The three most.
Yeah.
This is the podcast where three of America's slimiest cooks will cook your family recipe, then twist it in all sorts of perverse ways, as dictated by the proprietary wheel of death behind me. That's how we play the game here on Recipe Club. That's what you've tuned in to hear. That's what we're about to do. Priya, this was your featured ingredients. I think this might have been pretty low on your bucket list. The theme this week is flavored vodka, for which we received a few recipes. Do you recall? I can't recall from the draft episode. Was this high on your list? Am I misremembering, or were you sort of stuck with flavored vodka?
I was definitely stuck with flavored vodka. It's an ingredient I associate with. In college, our social chair was really irresponsible with money for our sorority, and she spent it all on cupcake flavored vodka. And so we had to drink cupcake flavored vodka all term.
Oh. Wait,
she spent all your money? So it's just like, nope, sorry guys, we don't have anything but flavored vodka this year.
It was like a good portion of the budget spent on cupcake flavored vodka.
And what was her
flavor
name? Just
of
so we
cupcake.
Have that?
Hannah Kuhar, you know who you are.
which was her campaign slogan for running for her sorority treasurer or whatever. It was just cupcake flavor. I don't think it's a specific cupcake.
But I'm saying, does the cupcake have a flavor? Was it a vanilla cupcake or chocolate cupcake?
Yeah, it was sort of, I feel like it sort of had like, or maybe it was whipped cream flavored vodka. It was sort of in that, I'm pretty sure it was cupcake flavored vodka, though. It had like a vanilla cakey type of scent to it, and it was horrible. It was horrible.
Today's recipe, did it take you back to college?
It brought me back not only to college, but to when Lauren, Kate, and I threw one of our first house parties when we lived in New York, and Kate wrote about fast food. So she was always going and getting like weird, you know, like that weird merch that you don't want that you get from food parties. And one time she went to like a vodka event and got like whipped cream flavored vodka, and it sat dormant, just like unopened in our cabinet for a really long time until Kate decided she was going to make alcoholic smoothies.
Yes.
With the flavored vodka. And so at 2 o'clock in the morning, she made smoothies and we all drank alcoholic smoothies. With this vodka.
I love the idea of it being dormant, like Godzilla under the sea, just like waiting to be awoken by like a depth charge from a test submarine or something, and then it destroys you. Okay, so I think we can all gather from the way we're talking about flavored vodka that we are not only three of America's slimiest cooks, we're also maybe the least flavored vodka drinking.
Yeah, we're not lubricated by flavored vodka. A different kind of slime.
I will say it has a bad rap, right? It's just like a very, this is like the lowest brow of reputations, flavored vodka, right? Because as you progress as a drinker, as an adult, you're supposed to find less enjoyment out of the cloying, artificially flavored alcohols of the world, and you're supposed to discover the more authentic pain of unadulterated alcohol mixed with ice, right? Like that's supposed to be – that's what you get classier as a person is because you no longer drink pineapple vodkas and things like that. Wait,
but Chris, you remember you literally wrote about watermelon flavored vodka in the context of
– Okay. Let's tell your love life. We can get to that story in a second. I think this is a good progression actually. God damn you for bringing that up. I had totally forgotten about. But I think Rachel's question is an excellent question. What was the first thing, let's say the first thing you drank, the first thing you remember, the first alcoholic beverage you remember consuming, and then what is sort of the, do you have like a cocktail or a spirit or something that you were really into that you now are sort of cowed to think about that you were embarrassed that you were into? Do you have one?
So I think my first drink ever was a screwdriver, you know, orange juice vodka, classic. But the thing that I would then order, perhaps with an ID that was legitimate, perhaps not, was Malibu and pineapple.
Wow.
Oh, my God. How are you alive?
I know.
Just Malibu rum and like the canned pineapple juice, basically.
Yes.
You were just like... Give me the fountain soda, but don't add any water. I just want the syrup. Just give me the syrup right into my mouth.
I mean, it's delicious.
But that was your like your go-to drink for a little while.
Well, just for – yeah, not for very long. But yeah.
Okay.
Definitely early days. What about you, Chris? Wow.
I think my first drink – I'm going to say my first non-beer drink because it was probably a beer at some point or many beers at some point. But I – the people who introduced me to alcohol were real dirtbags. So I honestly think that it was like – I may have drank like Bacardi 151 before I drank anything else.
I actually did, as you were speaking, remember probably it was a Smirnoff Ice.
Yes. Smirnoff Ices or Boone's Farms, like wine coolers, things like that. And then the thing that would probably be embarrassing for me to reflect back on – well, the first thing that comes to mind, I fell prey to like the – remember when Saint Germain became a thing? It was like elderflower liqueur and I thought it was like so classy and it came in that like hexagonal bottle like with like sharp edges. And I was like many people thought, oh, this is what they drink in Paris. This must be the authentic drink of Louis the 14th. But it was like a marketing creation of 2001 or something insane like that. So I fell prey to that. And yeah, I mean, all of my embarrassing ones are just like real trashy shots. You know, it was just – I remember being in – getting in all sorts of trouble for trying to order an Irish car bomb at like an Irish pub that was like very offended by that.
Oh, my God. Christopher.
I was like 19 years old. Like I didn't know about the troubles. Anyway, that was mine. Priya, what do you got?
I had to think about this, but I think my first alcohol was Chivas whiskey because when I was in ninth grade, my parents sent me to Mexico to become like fluent in Spanish for a semester of high school. And that was where I drank for the first time. And the woman who hosted me let us host, like throw house parties and drink all of her alcohol. So like I drank some like very fancy whiskey. I don't know how fancy Chivas is. I think it's like medium fancy.
It comes in a nice container also.
Doesn't Chivas come in like a little round? It has like a round.
It looks like a crown or something. Yeah.
But it's also – but that might be Crown Royal.
No. But look it up.
Chivas – doesn't it also come with like that little blanket, that little velvety
Chivas? That's Crown. Crown Royal definitely has the velvet sack or something.
Oh, this is – no. See, it's more of just like a – it's not necessarily rounded. Right. It's more of just like a little bit bulbous.
Bulbous.
Chivas Regal.
So I just drank a ton of that, I remember, that summer.
You drink a ton of Chivas. Okay. So we're over here just being like, I drink limoncello with Hershey syrup. And Priya's like, Chateau Lafite, 1964 was my first taste of the hooch, as you might call it. Sure, Priya. And then what would your – give us something legitimately embarrassing that you would order at bars or whatever.
I absolutely loved raspberry-flavored beer.
Whoa.
Wait, like a – what is that? What, a raspberry-flavored beer?
So like I think like a few breweries came up with it.
Framboise, sort of like, right?
No, not framboise, different. Like Harpoon and a bunch of those companies like came up with beers to like market themselves better to women. And in college, that was like – those were the first beers that like – were purchased for me. Like, oh, you're a girl, you'll love this raspberry beer.
And you did.
I did.
Okay, I don't know if have I told you guys this story. In your defense, I'm going to leap to your defense here with the falling for the fruit beers intended being marketed to women. You know that you make that discovery. Chang and I talk about this all the time. You make the discovery of beer that is not Coors Light, Bud Light, Budweiser, whatever. And it's the first person in your friend group who's like, have you heard of Hefeweizen? Like, that's the first person. Yeah. So I had a friend who was like, have you heard of Hefeweizen? And then it was like from Pyramid Brewery in Berkeley. And then we were like, oh, my God, beer can taste like other things besides this. And then they were like, but have you tried apricot beer from Pyramid?
Oh, no.
And I was like, this is amazing. This is truly amazing. And we threw our very first kegger in college.
The keg is full.
With a fucking keg of apricot.
Oh my God.
And I think like four beers were drunk from this thing. So, which brings us to our thing at hand here, which is fruit flavored alcohol, which gets
or
a
just
bad
flavored.
Rap. Or just flavored alcohol. Because you got, what do you have? You have like vanilla is probably primary. There's the whipped cream vodka that we use today. I'm looking at other things on here.
I feel like a lemon or lime is perhaps slightly classier.
Lemon lime feels a little classier. Nice.
Yeah.
Just like a little citrus is classy. But yeah. What do you
But like green apple maybe or
what do you think is the least classy? I've got one here called pineapple mango.
Mongo.
Pineapple mango.
Pineapple mango.
Here's the one I think might be the least classy, and nothing against Stolichnaya. But they have a flavor called salted caramel with a K, which I feel drops the class level even lower.
Yes.
That they've decided to spell caramel with a K.
Maybe it's co-branded with the Kardashians.
Oh, maybe it's a Kardashian.
That's true.
Oh.
Don't you think they would like that kind of thing?
Because it's kind of
they would love that. Yeah. They would love that.
They would love that, princess. Let me tell you, these Kardashians, they would go for that. But yeah, I think it's generally fruit flavors. There's raspberry, vanilla, red, white, and berry. I don't know what that's about.
Oh, patriotic.
Absolute pears.
Probably a 4th of July.
Yeah.
Ciroc, vodka, apple, Stolichnaya. Here's another one. Stoli, what are you doing over here? Stolichnaya, raspberry. Priya, you're not looking at the screen like Rachel and I. Mm-hmm. I want you to attempt to spell raspberry in the way that the Stolichnaya marketeers have spelled it.
Ooh, I bet it's like R-A-Z-Z, like B-U-R-Y.
Very close. Very close, honestly.
That's incredibly close. Yeah. R-A-Z-B-E-R-I.
Priya knows marketing. That's pretty good. This looks this way is more like a woman's name, you know, like a creative name.
Raspberry.
With an I? Like with an I.
I mean, that is how I was. Oh, man. I was going to make fun of this is a woman's name. But then every woman in my wife's family's name ends with an I like
this.
Oh,
that's true.
So I think it's a really classy way to spell it. Stolichnaya. I think it's super classy.
Perhaps if you have a third child.
So we got a bunch of recipes involving flavored vodka. I'm not going to go. I've got some history here about vodka and vodka production generally, but we don't need to get into that.
Tell us the history.
Okay. Well, here's this is not history necessarily, but it's God damn it, Priya. If you Google flavored vodka recipes, we usually do this, right? The mm-hmm. Google hits. I feel like this statistic among all statistics debunks this thing that we do. You get 40 million results if you Google flavored vodka recipes. I think that this pokes a little bit of a hole in this metric we've been using to describe the popularity of an ingredient, because there's no effing way that there are anywhere near 40 million recipes involving flavored vodka. I guess cocktail recipes and...
Don't you think there are enthusiasts, yeah. though? There's probably...
Yeah, I think that's right.
There's okay. probably some enthusiasts. It's not... It's like most people don't drink flavored vodka, but the ones who do...
Are really into it.
Just
There's got to be yeah. a market for it. I mean, I think it might actually be reversed. I bet more people love this stuff.
Oh, than other vodka.
I think we're just like... I think we might have a Coastal Elite blind spot on this. I think most people are just like loving flavored vodka.
Listen, that's a good point.
Hannah Kuhar spent thousands of dollars on flavored vodka. And I felt like I was the only one who was unhappy with her decision. So I think we're in the minority.
Hannah, what Hannah's, have you done?
Hannah's like a contemporary friend of yours, right? You still are friends with Hannah?
Yeah. She's a doctor. Hi, Hannah.
Okay, as long as she's not on the alt-right or something.
Yeah, just trying to keep Priya out of libel trouble over here for slandering Hannah Kuhar's good name. Although I bet you, knowing Priya's got receipts. Priya's got like, listen, I have the books.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Miss Rorty, look how much of her, look how much of the treasury was spent on this flavored vodka. Hannah Kuhar, I'm still trying to impeach you. let me tell you another quick story about flavored vodka now that's all flashing back. I'm thinking back now on my history with flavored vodka and realizing that I was a big flavored vodka person.
Oh, it's all coming back to you now.
Oh man, this is humiliating. There was a time in my life where during my formative college years of becoming a food dork, where I was so susceptible to food television and like, you could do this too, you can make this, make your own sausages, do these like ridiculous projects for no reason. There was a year where like I spent so much time and money like infusing vodka with fruits and spices. And,
like, oh, I love it.
Into like,
I have the visual.
Into it. Does your visual include like perfect rows of bell jars, like just like glass jars.
Just all these different colors. Yeah. You know, like the stock photo of a scientist in the laboratory with like the pipettes and the colored liquids. But Chris.
It was like, it was so, and I just did this alone in my apartment. Like, oh man.
Yeah.
I love it. It is crazy. It is humiliating. I think I gave them out to people.
Oh.
That's so sweet.
It is so sweet. Did you make your own label?
No, I just wrote on them by
hand. Seems like something you need to do this year for Christmas and then give us, you know what I would give do? Us I would take some flavored vodka.
Yeah. You have to like tie a piece of twine
with
like a little off-white tag that you write like with nice little script. Well, first I got to work on my calligraphy because then I can hand label all
I'm actually
these,
working right? on my calligraphy.
You want to collab on this gift? You want to collab on a handmade gift this Christmas? Let's give this out.
Oh, I'm not even all joking. Right,
let's do this. I think that we should make some infusions and we should give them out to some listeners this year. Here, let's do this.
Oh my God, yeah. Recipe Club listeners.
What can you bring to the party, Priya? What kind of little, what can you add to this package?
Some angst about the...
From team Okra
with
here.
With a dash of angst.
Just a little angst in there. No, Rachel will do the labels. Listen, guys, I'll handle the infusions. I have a lot of experience. But Priya, you think about what you're going to contribute to this little Okra, dare I say, business? That we're starting?
Okra infused vodka? Is that what we're saying?
I bet we could. Do you know that would reach the kids in some disgusting way? Okra infused vodka.
What do we think?
Do you think that the vodka would like gelatinize, like get a little slimy?
It would one be a Jello shot in one.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It makes its own Jello
it's
shot.
It's a vegan Jello shot that tastes
Oh my God.
That tastes like pure garbage. okay. That's I give you a little bit of personal history instead of vodka history. So let's get into the heart of the matter with flavored vodka. We were sent a few recipes involving flavored vodka, some for cocktails, some for infusing your own flavored vodkas, and a couple of food recipes. So there was a watermelon daiquiri recipe. I cut some of these out. There's a cultural appropriation shrimp from Brandon Collins. The watermelon daiquiri was courtesy of Meg Mairn. There's Shell's coffee pudding shots by Michelle, a.k.a. Shelly Potts. And there was citrus vodka tuna ceviche by Julia Woods. Rachel wasn't here for the selection of the dishes. But there was a...
Was that considered?
Dave begged me not to do the ceviche.
I'm interested.
Well, there's like there's some precedence because like if you take the word ceviche out, which I think throws you off because you want ceviche to be sort of, you know, lemon lime citrus cured. Yeah. If you think about it as like a gravlax or something, you know, it gets a little alcohol in there. Mm-hmm. We did that. That was pretty delicious. But no, I also had the same reaction. That sounds horrifying to me. Mm. But no offense, Julia Woods.
I'm enticed.
Julia. Is that what you would have picked out of those four? What would you have picked?
Oh, yeah, maybe I would have actually.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe I would have.
Rachel, but weird.
Rachel,
man.
you have to consider the circumstances we were in which we had all just like somehow domed ourselves on asafoetida. Chris was like near death.
Oh, right.
I was trying to hide it, but I was like, I am not feeling great right now.
And you were so sick for so long. Yeah. You had been
sick. And the idea of like vodka, like flavored vodka cured fish sounded like even just like saying it out loud made my stomach turn.
Right. No, that totally makes sense. Yes.
Apologies to Julia Woods. I mean, we didn't choose your recipe and now we're just burying you under a heap
of
criticism.
I'm not Julia.
Rachel's got your back though,
yeah,
Julia.
Yeah, I do.
So we know which one Priya didn't choose. Priya, do you remember which one you did choose and can you tell us why you chose it?
I chose Shell's coffee pudding shots. I feel like with Recipe Club, I've now learned is you want a recipe that is moldable, that you can do a lot of things with, because, you know, when you spin the wheel, you want there to be like some fun variation that comes around. And so it basically felt like this was just like a very simple, like layered pudding. I think it had cookies on top, but it felt like, you know, you could have some fun with it. You could play around. Also, I think Dave and Chris were really lobbying for this. I'm not a big coffee dessert person, but I think I got to choose my own for this one. And so I was like, oh, I can go luxe and then, you know, buy myself a bunch of fancy baking stuff.
Yes, I think that we were lobbying for this. And I think because I will admit I was curious about the vodka cured. Mm-hmm. For me, it was just like the artificial lemon lime flavor was going to bum me out a little bit. I was nervous about that. But I think that the coffee pudding shot is probably the most realistic, natural application for the flavored vodka. That's probably how if somebody's eating this, it's probably in the form of a pudding shot. And I will say, I'll stand up for pudding shots. I'm all about a pudding shot. I mean, I'm a monster. So I like a pudding shot. So
I think this is great. And it reminded me of like my absolute favorite dessert to make when I was little. My parents wouldn't let me use an oven.
What is it going to be? Is it involved flavored vodka?
No, but it does involve instant pudding. Okay. But whoa. So I wasn't allowed to use the oven when I was younger because my parents just like felt that I left things on and forgot to turn them off, which is completely fair. And so I was reading Nickelodeon magazine and I found a recipe for something called a slimy swamp pie. And you basically take an entire sleeve of Oreos and you mix it with butter and crush it into a pie tin. And then you mix together vanilla vodka with green food coloring and whipped cream.
Vanilla vodka?
Vanilla pudding. Vanilla instant pudding, not vanilla
Nickelodeon
vodka.
Nickelodeon
magazine. And that's why Nickelodeon magazine had that $200 million lawsuit that sank them.
So it was vanilla instant pudding, green food coloring, and whipped cream. You mix it together, you put it in the Oreo crust, and then you like top it with like swampy stuff, like gummy worms and stuff like that. And my sister loved the pie so much, she requested it on her birthday every year, and it became a Krishna tradition.
When did
she stop requesting it?
You know, I feel like if we lived in the same place, she might still request it.
I have a weird, not weird, I have like a very real aversion to like Halloween foods and stuff.
I have trouble with them too.
I can't deal with,
yeah.
It looks like a swamp, but it tastes like a cookie.
I also can't, actually Priya has done this. I can't do the thing where you drink coffee out of a toilet.
Oh, what? What?
Like, you know those, was it in Korea that you did this?
Yeah.
Out of an actual toilet or a toilet-shaped
toilet
mug?
It was a toilet-shaped mug.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to do that.
I find it very difficult. Like, just there's a mental, it's so hard, yeah.
Because, I mean, especially like coffee out of a toilet is maybe the worst thing I've ever heard. Just like poo-poo water
out of
a toilet.
Chris can't go on. This episode has, we're stopping it. You can't go on.
I love how Rachel didn't specify toilet-flavored mug. And was like, oh, Priya's done this. Some coffee out of a toilet.
She's like, it's basically the same to me.
You know that thing that Priya does, just drinking out of a toilet all the time like a dog. No, I wouldn't do that. I can't deal with slimy, faux, gross out stuff. So I went to, Universal Studios here with my kids the other week, and they had like, everything's all Halloween crazy right now. I swear to God, we're going to get back to the show in a second. And they had like turned one of the restaurants into like a Chucky themed restaurant.
Oh no.
So it was like,
no,
bloody brain burgers. I was like, dude, this is horrifying, man. Just like, there's a finger in my mashed potatoes. And I was like, no. This is horrible. Like, who would want to eat this?
So, I hate it so much.
Anyway.
Oh my God. On the other hand, my favorite entree at the Rainforest Cafe was spaghetti with gorilla poop. Spaghetti and meatballs.
Priya has a higher, this is like a real thing. Like, different individuals have different, like, disgust tolerance.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you can be grossed out to different degrees, and maybe ours is a bit low,
right,
and Priya's is very evolved.
I think ours is a bit high. Hers is a bit low. She's, she gets that place. She's like, these aren't real gorilla poops. If I'm not eating monkey feces, I don't want to eat anything. Okay. Oh, jeez. Really need Dave on this show.
I really want to know how popular that is at Rainforest Cafe.
Simian feces.
Yeah, simian feces.
Is that real?
And also, aren't they quite similar to our feces?
Yeah, it's basically human poop.
It's basically human poop.
It's a loophole Rainforest Cafe found to serve human poop. What is that real though? I don't want to slander. Is this more libel? Gabby, will you look up if gorilla poop spaghetti is still a real thing for me?
I'm gonna look it up.
As you're looking that up, I'm gonna describe the real recipe, the real not disgusting recipe that we have here today, courtesy of Michelle Shelley Potts for Shell's Coffee Pudding Shots. Now, this recipe has a lot of moving parts to it, but I'm gonna try to do my best to sort of describe the shot itself, which the base layer is a layer of crushed mini chocolate chip cookies that you can do by hand or in a food processor. On top of that, you are going to have a layer of instant pudding. So it's vanilla or white chocolate pudding that is made not with just milk, but with coffee milk that you make with Autocrat or other coffee syrup and whole milk. You can combine that with the vanilla pudding mix and your alcohol, which in this case is one part Bailey's Irish cream, one part Kahlua, and two parts whipped cream flavored vodka. So that and the coffee milk are your liquid parts for your pudding. So you make a pudding out of that. That's the alcoholic component. You layer that on top of your crushed cookies. Then you've got some whipped cream that you also flavor with coffee extract and powdered sugar. You've got a layer of that on top, and I think more crushed cookies on top. That is the whole shot as written by Michelle Potts. And you hand those out, and you get ready to have a weird, weird time. But, of course, on Recipe Club, we don't mess around with original recipes. We like to screw things up in all sorts of different fun ways. So we spun the wheel of death behind me here to give us some constraints under which we all had to cook these. Priya landed on God mode, which enabled her to select everybody else's requirements, I think. I ended up with slow cooker, which we will get into in a second here. Rachel inherited Dave's selections, which were that she had to make her pudding shots in under 20 minutes, and she had to fuse them with the flavors and cuisine of China. And Priya, who was God mode, as she said earlier, elected to give herself a luxe requirement so she could use the Recipe Club budget to stock up on baked goods and baking products and make some version of a fancy pudding shot. Really quick, Gabby, Rainforest Cafe still have gorilla poop on the menu or no?
I can't find anything pointing to it existing.
Priya, you are trying to get us in trouble for for libel.
No, it was odd. Like, I mean, I went to Rainforest Cafe in the 1990s. Who, like, I feel like they've probably been bought and sold like a million times.
Just like the real rainforest.
But Priya probably has receipts for this as well.
Yes, it's true.
There's probably a menu tucked away somewhere.
I know.
Justice for Priya.
We know Priya's got like file cabinets with every menu from every restaurant she's ever been to. That's the most Priya thing I've ever heard. If anybody out there in the Recipe Club universe has evidence or can corroborate this, what is it? Spaghetti with gorilla poop?
It was spaghetti and meatballs, and the meatballs were sold as like poop, basically.
I don't even understand how this is possible.
That can't possibly.
How does this get past like all the committees of?
But what makes it gorilla? It's just like a meatball on red sauce.
Meatballs shaped like turds.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was literally. I'm like Googling it right now. I mean, it's literally just spaghetti and meatballs, and they just called the meatballs.
What's the reference there?
Well, just that you're in the rainforest where turds fall like on spaghetti.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
If a listener could please, who ate at the Rainforest Cafe at the Grapevine Mills Mall in the 90s, please back me up on this. That would be great.
Disgusting. Okay, so let's get into the ways we approach this recipe. So I had slow cooker. I'm going to go first because mine's probably closest to the original version of this. I know the two of you made lots of alterations. So I looked at the original recipe, and at first I was like, oh, this is going to be really hard with a slow cooker. But then I looked through this, and there's no cooking involved. There's nothing heated or whatever here. So I was like, a slow cooker is going to be really boring if I just say, like, I mixed this in a slow cooker bowl, and then I put it into the shot. And then I mixed this in a slow cooker bowl, and then I put it into the shot. So I was like, that's not really a challenge, as it were. So Gabby and I decided I would change my challenge so it'd be a little different. And I decided to take the fusion route as well. And I wanted to fuse mine with the British tradition of the English trifle. So my self-assigned task was to take this little pudding shot. Again, so these are all done into what does she call for? Like little, you know, plastic shot glasses. Cups. I wanted to put mine through like a Calvin Hobbes transmogrifier and turn it and enlarge it to make a mega pudding shot, like a family style pudding shot. So I did that and I did a couple of little replacements just to like make it sort of more visually appealing for this big thing. I made the pudding basically as directed. I don't know what this Autocrat coffee syrup is. I had never heard of this, but I guess it's like a Rhode Island thing.
Yeah.
Coffee milk.
We have some.
Have some?
Yeah, because we have a Rhode Island friend who mailed it to us.
It's very Rhode Island.
It's very Rhode Island.
It's for what are they called? Roadies? Rhode Islanders?
Little roadies.
Little roadies. Little roadies. Sounds like something they serve at Rainforest Cafe. We ordered this Autocrat syrup. I made the coffee milk. I made the booze as directed. I mixed it in with the pudding. I have not made instant pudding for, I don't know, since I was 5 years old. So I thought that instant pudding was cooked. I thought you had to heat it and then like do something, but you just mix it and put it in the fridge.
Yep.
When I mixed it together, you know, nothing happens. Contrary to the package's title, nothing happens instantaneously. It's still liquidy and runny. So I was assured by the other people in the office that if I put it in the fridge, it would firm up into pudding. But I didn't trust them or myself or the box. So I added a little extra pudding mix just because I wanted to make sure it was going to be thick enough to sit up in my little trifle. Whatever. That's neither here nor there. I made that as directed. I baked a chocolate cake from a box.
Whoa.
Which was delicious. I made the whipped cream basically as directed. Then I found or Gabby procured this plastic trifle bowl thing. So like a tall sided clear bowl. And I layered the chocolate cake on the bottom, which I absolutely soaked with more whipped cream, vodka, and Kahlua. I did the pudding on top of that, which held up fine. Then strawberries. Then I elected to go with crushed Oreos instead of chocolate chip cookies. I wanted like a nice little black and white situation going on. And then the whipped cream. And then I took a little microplane and I grated a bunch of chocolate on top of it. And it was so delicious. It's like so much better than I thought it would be. And the fact that it was gigantic only made it more attractive to me because I could eat way more than a pudding shot's worth of pudding in a single sitting. Like I ate a cup of this trifle. And I will say this, eaten fresh, you have to eat it fresh because you want those, you don't want the Oreo cookies to get soggy. But it was pretty delightful.
But what do you mean fresh? Because the pudding needs to firm, does it not?
You got to make it. You got to make it and then eat it right away because you want the cookies still to be crunchy as you're biting into this thing. Mm-hmm. And then I sent the whole thing home with Gabby, and hopefully she was okay over the weekend. But it was the pudding is pretty boozy. It is.
Yeah, it is very boozy.
It's pretty boozy. So again. As is the Recipe Club tradition, we only accept recipes where they measure the alcohol in cups. So that was my English mega pudding shot. I would, for certain groups of people, most of my friends, I would make this again for just like, and after dinner, guys, we've got a giant extra large pudding to eat with a spoon. So that was my sort of closest to the original, not slow cooker, British fusion pudding trifle.
But I feel like you could have made it in a slow cooker.
I know, but this is where I'm a little hung up.
But like I could have done it in a slow cooker. Yeah. I could have done all of that in a slow cooker, but I wanted you to be able to see it. So like I wasn't trying to avoid the task. There was just like nothing interesting about a slow cooker though. Like I would have layered the same thing.
You could have slow cooked, made a pudding from scratch in a slow cooker. You can slow cook a cake. You could have slow cooked cake.
See, I've already, the thing is like, this is like my fourth slow cooker thing. And I also had to slow cook a fucking halpia pudding cake in the slow cooker. And I am not a one trick pony. I had to do that already.
Have you done that yet?
Yeah. I have attempted it. It's not turned out well the first time. You can't bake in there. And I could have made a pudding from scratch in the slow cooker. But like I was just – I really thought about it and I was like, what is – I absolutely could have. But to me, it was like, what is the utility of the slow cooker thing? And the slow cooker utility is like dorm rooms and situations where you don't have any other ability to make something with a stove. And like if you're in a slow cooker situation, why would you – do something more difficult in the slow cooker? Why would you say, I'm going to make from scratch pudding instead of like, I have pudding mix. I can just do this. So my whole thing was like really imagining the slow cooker scenario and doing it for that person who is like, I want to do this. I don't have a real kitchen and I want to get my friends wasted. So I went extra large for my mode. I mean, slow cooker pudding. What is the point of slow cooker pudding? You're looking at me like you don't believe me, Priya. But what's the point of slow cooker pudding? Does anybody who eats pudding think, God, this is delicious, but I wish it took longer?
Well, it's just interesting. It's just interesting that we can not do what the wheel has decided.
I did because it was going to be harder. I took the harder route. I elected to take the harder route here.
Did you?
I sat there with Gabby and I said, this is too easy. I'm going to do the harder thing. Which the more complicated thing, you guys? This is outrageous.
We're not saying anything. We're merely sitting in silence.
Yeah, I'm just basking in your evil looks of silence. That's fine. Let's move on. Let's go to Priya, who did a luxe version of it.
I was like really skeptical about whether I was going to like this, but I was like, if I'm going to do a luxe version, I'm going to like do like a everything from scratch version. So I ended up buying stuff from like six different places. So starting with the plastic cups, I was like, well, obviously a luxe version can't be plastic cups. So I went to a fancy boutique and bought four crystal coupe glasses.
Oh.
You fucking people, man.
I thought you were going to say compostable cup.
This is outrageous, man.
No, they're beautiful. Now we have like really lovely, right. like colored glass, you know, right. like.
And wow, Priya was like, if I was really making this in a luxe situation, I'd probably have a nicer stove too. Yeah. So I should probably buy a nice stove.
This is next level. I've never thought about the glassware, but now I will.
Oh my God. We're taking Lux off the wheel. Yeah. We're taking Lux off the wheel.
One of the ingredients was plastic cups. And I was like, absolutely a Lux version of this would not be made in plastic cups. And then instead of whipped cream flavored vodka, I bought like fancy vodka and then put vanilla infused vanilla beans. I feel like that's Ooh. Something Chrissy Ng would have done in college. Did you yeah. have a vanilla bean?
Oh my God. I shared this very vulnerable moment with you guys. And now you're going to not even wait a whole episode to throw it back in my face.
But this is, we're calling it classy. This is the luxe version. Yeah. 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 Fancy Fine. Vodka,
well,
vanilla
beans.
Nothing
classy about what Chrissy Ng was doing in college. So. Carry on. So you infuse some vodka with
wow,
vanilla,
that's impressive.
With whole vanilla beans.
With the pods. And then.
But no cream.
No, because I went online and I Googled the ingredients for whipped cream flavored vodka, and it's basically just vanilla flavored
oh,
vodka.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
By the way, the whipped cream vodka, it smells pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it does.
It smells pretty tasty. Yeah. Anyway.
I used Kahlua and Bailey's for coffee milk. I went to my very fancy local coffee shop and I bought a shot of espresso and then whipped it with some sugar to make like a coffee syrup.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And then I mixed it with some like very fancy farmer's market milk that I bought that like sort of tastes it like sort of like the straight from the cow type of milk. It was delicious. Like I drank that milk all week. It was so good.
You know, it's like that gorilla poo that's straight out of the gorilla. Yeah. Fresh gorilla poo. Yeah.
No. Yeah. No more.
Okay, keep going.
Instead of instant vanilla pudding, I recruited Seth to make pastry cream from scratch. So we got like fancy egg yolks, milk. I forget what all is in pastry cream. Butter. Yeah. And so we made like a really good pastry cream. And then I bought fancy heavy cream. And then we used vanilla beans instead of vanilla extract. Instead of the mini chocolate chip cookies, I went to like a local bakery that has really good malted chocolate chip cookies.
Ooh.
And I bought like a bunch of the malted chocolate chip cookies.
A bunch.
But I still came in under $300, which was the budget.
Shit. I was going to say this is $275 for sure. Okay.
Wow.
And then
a bunch of cookies.
Yeah, I mean, I ate a couple for myself.
Okay, deduct those from the receipts, please. Times are tough over here. Times are tough.
And so I made all of that. I layered it into the coupe glasses. I mean, it looked amazing. Like when I looked at it, I was like, I can't believe that I made this dessert. Like it just looked really, really impressive. And then I refrigerated it. And then my cousin Hirsch came and visited from LA. I think you guys both met my cousin Hirsch at my birthday party. And he tried it. So I wanted to get his opinion. And he was like, this is one of the best desserts I've eaten all year.
Wow.
Honestly, it was booze. I was worried about the coffee and I was worried about the booze. But I feel like all of it just like works and complements each other super well. The cookies were like a little salty, which was really nice. Like the layering was really delicious. Like we like destroyed all, like I think we had like 5 glasses of it. And like I had people over like the next day too. And everyone ate it and loved it. It was really great. It was sort of like the ingredient that I least wanted this season. But I think this is the recipe I have loved the most.
Whoa. Did you feel buzzed?
I didn't. And I was surprised Seth didn't because he doesn't drink. And I thought that like, because just given the amount of alcohol, but he said he didn't, weirdly.
What would you?
He's gotten buzzed off of rum buttercream.
Oh my gosh. Seth is too pure. He should, Seth should distill our vodka that we're giving out for Christmas. Then it'll be Seth distills, Chris infuses, Rachel like, calligraphies.
Priya. Seth's gonna chug a rum buttercream. I love you, Seth, but man, that is pretty weak, dude. Let's imagine a world in which you, let's say you're having a fancy dinner party and you do want to serve this exact thing, which, you know, it sounds like you could pull it off, but I don't think you could pull it off if, like, legitimately a fancy thing. What would you call it? You wouldn't be like, this is our pudding shot dessert. Now let's all do pudding shots. Like, Think of a fun, fancy name to describe your coffee parfait.
Well, it is kind of a trifle. I mean,
yeah, like boozy coffee chocolate trifle.
Oh, interesting.
Or parfait is a good word also. Crunch.
Is there a crunch parfait to it? Crunch, parfait crunch?
Yeah, parfait crunch.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, let's give that to Fabian and Jeremiah and get that on one of their menus right away. Okay. So that is the Lux version. And then the last thing, Rachel stepped up to the plate for Dave, who I feel like this is like the second or third time now where he has had like an impossible sounding task that has been handed off to Rachel or JDB.
And he's mysteriously been like, I can't do it.
Exactly.
Like, oh, I really wanted to do an under 20 minute Chinese pudding pop.
Well, the funny thing is that I originally said no, because I thought I can't do this in under 20 minutes. Then there was a mix-up where I was accidentally, I think, sent your recipe card, Priya.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, sure, I can do Lux.
Because she Priya, also wanted to buy a bunch of malted chocolate chip cookies.
Because Priya and I are motivated by the same thing, which is to spend money on Recipe Club's dime and also stock our pantries beautifully and support local businesses.
Yeah, throw that one in there. Just support local businesses and save the pandas.
But in actuality, it was not Lux. It was not only 20 minutes, but also make it Chinese.
Yeah, that's a little thing called the bait and switch.
But how can I not make it Chinese, honestly? So I was pretty panicked about this because I thought, well, definitely I can't use the instant pudding mix. It needs time to set in the fridge. So I'm going to just have to use like pudding cups, pudding cups from... I mean, whatever, just from the refrigerated section. I don't even know if it's refrigerated. The pudding cups they're perhaps shelf stable. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
They were warm, I'm just saying, when I got them. Probably LA. I don't know. Anyway, okay. So what I did, I thought, how do I make this Chinese? I'm going to, instead of doing coffee milk, I'm going to infuse the milk with oolong. A very quick infusion with bagged oolong tea. I'm gonna put in some red bean, like sweetened red bean paste, because that makes it more.
Ooh, yum for that one too. Oolong tea infusion, great.
Red bean paste, you're not into?
Red bean paste is delicious.
Okay, keep going.
Red bean paste. I thought I would do like a sort of more, instead of the coffee, instead of the Kahlua and all that, I thought I would do like a more almondy flavor profile to make it more Chinese. You know, you think of like Chinese almond cookies. I used Chinese almond cookies instead of the mini chocolate chips. I used amaretto instead of the Kahlua and stuff. What was the other one? Bailey's. Yeah, mm-hmm. I swapped those out and used amaretto.
And just baijiu, just soak the whole thing in baijiu.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that, but I was like, no, fuck no, I can't do that. I have to do flavored vodka, whipped cream flavored vodka. So the vanilla profile is still there. So what I did was the 20 minutes started. I put a bunch of tea bags in some milk. This was a cold infusion, so it was really a very mild oolong flavor, but I put a bunch of bags in there. It was like five bags. I spent a minute just opening tea bags. I crushed up some cookies in a mortar and pestle. I whipped the cream with some almond extract, vanilla extract, put in the powdered sugar, also put in some salt. I mixed the alcohols as instructed. I dumped the pudding cups a couple pudding cups into the full amount of alcohol. And I was like, oh no, this isn't working. I would have needed to buy way more pudding than I did. You know, I only had four cups and like the alcohol ratio was totally wrong
it was
for
thinning
that.
Thinning out the pudding.
Yeah, the pudding itself was quite, like, it's been a while since I had a pudding cup, honestly, and it was thinner than I remembered. So the mixture was just like too runny. So I then like kind of started over, like put two pudding cups into a vessel, added the alcohol to like a reasonable consistency, just so it wasn't super runny. And then I strained out some of the pudding that I had mixed with the alcohol just to like bulk it up. This is a very panicked situation, like not as bad as Dave trying to make ice cream in 20 minutes, but it was like quite panicked. And I've never found opening pudding cups to be so difficult. It was like, ah, I don't have time. I need to like, yeah. So that was all very stressful. Mix the pudding with the alcohol, with the whipped cream, some of the whipped cream. And then the sort of parfait layers that I made were, I put the crushed almond cookie at the bottom. I put a layer of red bean paste. Then I put the pudding. Also, sorry, I forgot to mention, this was tapioca pudding, which I thought made it a little bit more Chinese.
Mm-hmm. We do love the tapioca.
You love the tapioca, gelatinous thing suspended in various soups and stuff. Yes. So it's tapioca pudding alcohol mixture. I put that in next, and then I topped it with whipped cream and more cookies on top and refrigerated it for the remaining 7 minutes. And yeah, I was very into it. I mean, it was like very almondy, the barest hint of oolong. So bare, quite bare in terms of oolong flavor. But I felt like the red bean definitely made it feel Asian, and the almond cookies really made it feel like, oh, this could be like at a Chinese dessert place, because it's like it was like all the flavors that you think about when you think about like kind of like a boba shop or something like that, right? The red bean, the almond cookies, like the extract reminded me of like almond pudding, you know, like the sort of that you get from the boba places. So yeah, Chris tried it.
I tried it. I thought it was very delicious. I said to Rachel that between this and the ice cream you made for the, what the hell was that episode?
Oh, the lemon episode. Yeah.
Episode.
Malaysian ice cream.
You should just open a dessert shop. you should just embrace your life as an old Asian granny running a dessert shop in Menlo Park.
It's only like fusion desserts. I must fuse them.
It was wild. I mean, that ice cream was insane from a few episodes back. And then this was really, really delicious. I didn't get any oolong tea. that wasn't the first flavor that came to mind. But I here's why I liked this one. The one that you made I thought was really nice, because I genuinely think of it. I'm trying to really think about these like scenarios under which you're going to do this. So that's why I'm like, Priya, like, what would you serve this if you like really serve this at a party and you weren't trying to be like jokey, trashy? What would you call it? I think you can totally do what you'd served. I think if you were legitimately at home and you had friends over or something, you were like, hey, do you guys want something sweet and I don't have any desserts? Like, you could legitimately make that out of stuff you just happen to have. Like, especially like if I had pudding cups that my kids had and some cookies, everything else is, there's nothing crazy about the ingredients you had. You could really whip up a dessert in that way, which is my favorite
part
about it. You could do it in, I think you have to do it in the little cup size portion.
So cute.
I don't think if you serve this in like, here's my bowl of crushed up cookies stuff, it wouldn't look good. But the cup is really nice. I think it was legitimately super delicious. Yours wasn't as boozy as mine.
No.
I think I wonder if you had soaked, if you just like put some booze on those cookies at the bottom and sort of like gotten them like a little wet sandy, might have like made it a little more boozy if you're like you're chasing that. But I thought for like a 20-minute Chinese, like legitimate, I am a Chinese household and these are the ingredients we have in our house. it was very, very good. So I think you both you guys crushed it. I'm just gonna keep losing and losing and losing. Priya, got any comments about Rachel's Chinese under 20 minutes dessert?
It sounds really good. How did the red bean work out as like the wild card addition?
It was just good. Yeah, I think it was like
it was like the paste, right? Yeah, it wasn't the whole beans.
Well, no, it was. It was both paste and beans. Like, okay. I think they didn't. It was a mix of textures. So weirdly. yeah, like all kind of work together. The cookie crumbs were really nice, you know, just to have like that little dry bottom, dry bottom and top.
I do have a problem with dry bottom. Yeah.
I feel like I learned a lot. Like I'm realizing how little I know about Chinese desserts in hearing you talk about it. But this sounds absolutely delicious. I was like thinking about what I would have done.
Or what would Dave have done? What do we think Dave would have done?
For a Chinese dessert? I think there's a reason why he's not here today. It's because he wouldn't have done anything. He would have just been like, I didn't want to do it.
Sorry, Priya, what would you have done?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind for whatever reason was like five spice powder and how like it can work in savory and sweet applications. So I was like, that was the only thing I had thought of. But I was like, this seems really hard. You nailed it, it seems, sounds like.
Yeah. The almondy flavor, it tasted very Asian. It tasted like a, you wouldn't get this at like a Chinese restaurant that serves hot bean soup or fruit for dessert, but you get it like
next generation,
a cool new next gen Chinese restaurant.
But this, I think, is, if people do make it at home, you should definitely infuse the tea for longer than I could infuse it.
Yes, more than,
wouldn't
more
that
than
be nice? Oolong, that sounds good.
Oolong infused, that sounds delicious. Yeah. I love tea flavored desserts, and that was really smart.
I'm glad you went oolong. I think like jasmine would have been horrible. Oolong would have been nice, but yeah, I could see Danny Bowen serving this in 2014 or something. Totally. So that's the three variations on Shell's coffee pudding shots. Like Priya said, we all started this as anti-flavored vodka people, but it's turned out to be like a little bit of a magical surprise, which I'm really happy that we all ended up with something that was pretty delicious in our minds. I'm going to give the judges, who today we've got Corey, Victoria, and Gabby in the booth, make their decision. I feel like it's going to come down to one hard decision and one easy one. But in the meantime, let me give you all, for those paying attention at home, an update on the season standings. In first place, we have John DeBerry with a score of 9.43. Priya, I think you called at the beginning of the season this was JDB's year.
I think you did, yeah.
I did.
And he just cannot lose, just can't lose. In second place, Priya, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but there's been some reshuffling down below. You are now in sole possession of second place with a season average of 9.25. In third place, by a razor-thin margin, Dave Chang with 9.06 points. Tied for fourth, Brian and Rachel. Rachel, you have been climbing ever since an early...
I'm a loser.
The onion incident.
An early stumble out of the blocks.
That was before I knew you could just change your category.
Well, you can't. Only I can. And listen, there will be a...
JK, JK.
There's going to be some kind of goddamn conspiracy talk trying to kick me out of office every year on this show. Last year, it was Priya and I colluding, which we clearly aren't anymore. Clearly not friends anymore. And look at me, just dwelling in the basement like some sort of horrible family secret that everyone's ashamed of.
He's Bruno. You're Bruno.
I am Bruno, just lurking in the walls because nobody wanted to hear the truth.
Oh.
Controllers? Comptrollers? What you got for me?
All right. Great job, everyone. But for today's episode... in third place, we have Rachel. You had a really tough task ahead of you. I thought you did a really good job, though.
It's a shock.
In second place, we have Chris with his trifle.
I'll take that trifle.
And in first place, we have Priya with her Lux.
I think...
Interesting.
I don't like to feed into the conspiracies. I don't like to add to the conspiracy discussion. But I will say... Gabby, who just announced the scores, also ate all of that trifle I gave her on Friday. So I'm just saying, generally speaking, you don't get to feed the judges. But listen, I'll take my second place, even though I think I'm undeserving. I think Rachel's was pretty delicious. But that changes things in the standings a little bit here. Priya, you are now only 0.03 points from taking the lead from John DeBerry. So you have a tough decision to make. Do you want your preseason prediction to come true or do you want to win? And I think we all know you want to win. Dave is, or Priya is still in second by, like I said, 0.03. Dave is in third. Rachel, you've fallen out of your tie with Brian. Now you are, but listen, this is going
to
be good
news.
Why
did I say yes to doing this?
This is going to be really, this is going to be really good. Listen.
I feel like when I replace Dave on a show, my points should go to him.
I guess that's for later.
That's a really
debate.
Good point.
But listen, in a fitting turn of events here.
Yes.
In your 20 minutes Chinese pudding week.
Yeah.
Your season average has now lowered to the very fortuitous number of 8.88.
You are
an incredibly lucky Chinese person right now. and I am still in the basement at 8.76, but nobody cares about me down here. I feel like people are going to be very upset about these results. Priya.
For the record, Rachel, I think that you should have won.
No.
Chris and I probably both would have voted for you if this was like a judge voted thing, right, Chris?
Having now had the results in and comfortably enjoying my second place, I can say yes, I absolutely would have. I absolutely would have. It's always an easy thing, Priya, to say from the winner's box that you would have given it to somebody else. This is the basis of every Oscar acceptance speech. I can't believe I'm up here. It was
I'm
going to
change my Ube 20 minutes thing.
Okay, so speaking of which, Priya, we will have the Okra Club back together for another episode here, Ube is your ingredient,
yeah.
Right? So Priya will be playing the role of Dave. I want to hear your best Dave impression when we do that episode, Priya.
Oh my God. I do a great Dave impression. Not only do I do a great Dave impression, but my entire friend group who like knows about me working with Dave, they do great Dave impressions. But like,
I'm excited to hear that. We'll save that for that episode. So it's like a Marvel movie. Like Rachel and Priya will return in the next Avengers for the Ube episode. If Rachel decides to come back,
I know
Priya.
I won't.
Rachel, man.
Dave's going to have to replace me.
Priya, you still have an ingredient yet to be done this season. Your final ingredient, I think, of the season is maple syrup, which I'm excited about. You've got a number of recipes to choose from here. You've got French boyfriend waffles from Natalie Baseman, the maple leaf from Sean McCann, maple cream pie from Michelle Steele, maple miso butter chicken from William Orock, sticky maple and bourbon pork ribs from Belkis Will, vegetarian maple nuggies from Julia Lauer, and maple pudding cake, aka pudding chaumil by Belkis Will. There's two recipes from Belkis Will.
Yeah. Where was that? I think I chose that one.
You've chosen maple pudding cake from Belkis Will.
But it's embedded in another dock. Can you remind me which dock it is embedded in? Is it the cream pie?
This is adapted from Epicurious. I grew up in Switzerland. My sister married a Canadian. Something about Yemen and Libya, Myanmar and Iraq, Ukraine.
Gabby, was this the recipe that you had to reach out to get because they forgot to attach it?
Yes, this is the one. I resent it to you over text.
Yes, then this. I think this is the one that I would like to do. Putting a chômeur.
All right, you're sure about putting chômeur?
More pudding.
It's Rachel not technically. It's like a pudding by British. So it's a cake. Oh, really, it's just like individual cakes.
Oh, it's pudding in the British sense.
Mm. Yeah. So it's
okay. Well, let's spin the wheel to find out what restrictions we'll each be receiving. Rachel, since you're
I'm Dave
today, why don't you do the? Oh my God. You want to spin for Dave? Okay. Double taxation for Dave, which means Priya, episode winner here, you are going to be picking two restrictions for Dave. to saddle him with for the pudding shilmu.
If he even shows up. And I think you should do 20 minutes Chinese.
Rachel.
You know what? I think that's a great idea, Rachel.
Rachel is as bitter as an oversteeped oolong cream right now.
Get the minutes to be oversteeped.
Do you want to spin for Priya as well? Why don't you spin for Priya as well, Rachel?
Okay. Lux.
Round and round we go. Lux. This might be the last wheel spin of the season.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Yes.
You gave what her God. Get? You had God mode again.
I got God mode again?
Okay. So think about what you want Dave to have. Think about what you want to have. And I guess it doesn't, unless I land on God mode, it doesn't matter what I land on because you can just pick it. So this is bad news. Oh, my God. Well, it's slow cooker again, which this is like the 12th time.
Wait,
so don't. I've had slow cooker too many times. Give me whatever. I'll do whatever, but I don't want to do slow cooker
again. Just spin it again. You can't just change it.
She decides. Okay. She's God mode.
Okay.
All right. So Priya, question one.
Okay,
what do you want to give Dave?
I think we need to give Dave under 20 minutes and fusion again, because he needs to do okay. this. Like he can't escape his assignment. And so what fusion should we give him for this?
I think
Rachel, thoughts?
I think Chinese is the way to go. Just run it back.
I mean,
okay.
love a Chinese
pudding. He can't do any of the stuff that Rachel did, because Rachel did like cheat, but he can't do any of that.
Well, is Chinese too? I mean, he's just going to like do the five spice thing. What is there something more difficult here?
Well, he could do it and you can see if it tastes good.
How about, what about under 20 minutes in Indian?
Fine. Great. Mm-hmm. I love it. Under 20 minutes in Indian pudding shoumu. what do you want to give to me? What's interesting on here?
Okay, let's see. I was thinking like budget or doomsday, or microwave only.
Ooh,
let me do microwave. Give me a microwave.
Okay, microwave only.
Great. And then what do you want for your restriction? Let me guess. Let me take one guess.
Wait. Gabby just texted me and said, handmade and making him make his own maple syrup is maybe an option.
You can't actually do that. Though.
I don't, there's no maple trees here.
You gotta tap a maple.
Gabby doesn't know how maple syrup is. Gabby. Also, stop doing that. Take three on the side. Give her handmade maple syrup. Get out of here. When is maple? No, you have to harvest those in the spring, I think.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that right now, actually.
What do you
just
I
do
want?
Lux again.
I guess I could do vegan, but I feel like that's a little annoying.
You could do Indian for fusion and just make it better than Dave's.
Well, I love that idea.
I love that idea, too.
I love that idea. Let's do that. Rachel, you're a genius.
Oh, man. Rachel's revenge mind is the greatest mind.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. So, well, the next time we have Rachel and Priya on, it's going to be for this Ube episode, I believe. But we're going to have Priya with the maple syrup episode, in which we are going to see Dave do an under 20 minutes Indian version of the pudding cake. Priya is going to do a competing Indian fusion maple pudding cake, which, God damn, do
but
I love that.
But not under 20 minutes.
Not under 20 minutes. Yeah. All the time she needs to defeat Dave. And I will be making a microwave-only version of the the maple pudding cake. And I will stick to my restriction, guys. We are starting to put videos of the cooking from this season up on our YouTube channel, which you should all check out, Major Domo Media's YouTube channel, to see all of these lovely faces there. Team Okra is all up on there.
Okra Pod.
If you get on the Major Domo Media Discord, you can participate, cook along, spin the wheel. And now you know that one of the season prizes is going to be a Chris infused, Rachel decorated, Seth and Priya distilled vodka at the end of the season. So there's plenty of reason to get in there, participate, cook things, vote, and spin your own wheel of death. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to Rachel for sitting in for Dave this week. Sorry to put you through all of this. Thank you.
This is what Dave would do. Just,
just. That is a good Dave impression.
And then also,
just look at his
face. Yep. It would be. Yeah.
Thank you to Priya. Please give us 5 stars or whatever. Do something nice for us because we do so much nice shit for you. We'll talk to you all very soon.